morning, Life Point Church. Man, thank you all so much for joining us once again here on Life Point Live. Man, I can't tell you how just thankful I am that you all come each week, hang out with us, hang out with each other, do life together here in this new virtual format that we find ourselves in. And man, I really hope that each of you are staying healthy, are doing everything that you can to make the best of our current situation. Connecting more with your family, being able to do some maybe self-reflection and self-inventory on kind of balance in your life. And most importantly, that you're really spending time connecting with God and seeing how he's blessed us even amidst this crazy situation that we're in. So again, thank you all so much for being here with us. And as I say each week, man, go ahead and invite your friends, get that watch party going. So we can get as many people in here as possible. And don't forget to get in that comment section and really connect with each other. And and we can really interact that way. So I want to encourage you to do that as we get started. And we are kicking off, we're wrapping up. We're not kicking off, we're wrapping up this current message series we're in called When God's Not Fair. And throughout this series, we've discussed how easy it is for us and how often we find ourselves saying things like, man, it's just not fair. Like it's become this almost an obsession within our culture to be hyper-focused on what's fair and what's not fair. We're obsessed with it. We tend to get distraught, and some people can get fired up when things don't seem fair, especially when they don't go the way we want it to go. We find ourselves blaming the authority figures in our lives, the leaders in our lives, other people around us. We blame them for things not being fair. And ultimately, at times, we find ourselves blaming God, saying things like, God, this just isn't fair. How could you let this happen? How could you do this? God, I don't get it. And it just isn't fair. But in week one, we looked at what our typical definition and understanding of fair actually is. And what we found is that it's basically following the exact standard of what's right and proper, no matter what. That means that we follow the letter of the law and we never deviate from it. That it is as it is written. This is what it is. There's no exceptions. There's no outliers. There's nothing. No gray areas. It's either the letter of the law, what's right and proper according to that, or it's unfair. And that's how we have defined it. But based on that definition and understanding, we've kind of posed this question each week of, do we really want God to be fair according to our standards? And I venture to say, and what we've discovered throughout this whole series is no, we don't want God to be completely fair to us. You see, we're really quick to call things out when they're not fair, when they hurt us, or that they don't go the way we want them to go. But what about those times when something that's unfair works out to our benefit? And this is the exact case in our relationship with God. You see, our key thought for this entire series has been that God's love is not fair. God's love itself is not fair according to our understanding and definitions of fair. His love is not fair at all. His unfair love is at the heart of the gospel message. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 2, 4, and 5, again, which we've read every week. It's kind of been our foundational passage of scripture in this series. And it says this, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace that you have been saved. You see, we didn't deserve it. We definitely didn't earn it. But God, so rich in mercy and in unfair love, when we deserved death because of our sins, he He said, no, I'm giving you life because I love you. And it's not fair. And man, we should be so thankful for it. And so today, week four, as we, like I said, conclude this message series, we're yet again going to look at another event within Scripture where Jesus displayed his unfair love for someone that was definitely in need. You see, in week two of this series, we looked at the thief who was being crucified on a cross right next to Jesus. And Jesus showed him unfair love in that we know that we're not too late. The thief wasn't too late. Therefore, we are never too late to come into a relationship with Jesus. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you're not too late. Last week, we looked at Jesus' parable on the prodigal son. And from that, we learned that no matter how far you may be from God right now, you've never gone too far. That regardless, God is right there waiting for you to come back to him. And then today, week four, we're going to be looking at another account within Scripture. And in this time, we see Jesus have this beautiful and incredible interaction with the Pharisees and a woman whose life was literally hanging in the balance. A story that many of you may know as the woman caught in adultery. And just a side note, this passage of Scripture, this account is Jen's, one of her favorite, my wife, one of her favorite passages of Scripture and stories within Scripture. So I'm feeling a little bit of pressure this morning. So, but hopefully, God willing, do it justice. But when we lead up to this interaction, when we look at this interaction within Scripture, we see that Jesus was in the temple courts and he was yet again teaching. It's what he did. He was in the temple courts teaching and all kinds of people gathered around him. And then as normal, the Pharisees and the other religious leaders come barging in. They interrupt Jesus with some type of ploy to get him to say something wrong, to trip him up so that they could have him arrested. And this time, man, they took it pretty far. So let's go ahead and check out this passage of Scripture found in John chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse 2. And it says this: at dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery, and they made her stand before the group. Man, how humiliating. They caught this woman in the act of adultery and then brought her in front of a bunch of people and started accusing her. So they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman, to execute her." And then they said, "Jesus, now, what do you say?" They were using this question to trap, as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. You see, they formulated this plan because they knew regardless of whatever Jesus responded, whether he said, "Yes, go ahead, follow the law of Moses and execute her," or "No, don't execute her," they were going to have a basis to accuse him and to have him arrested. It was a trap, right? Verse 6, but Jesus bent down and started writing on the ground with his finger. I mean, he completely ignored them. They're saying, "What do you say, Jesus?" And he just bends down and starts writing in the sand. Verse 7, when they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped back down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." A woman caught in the act of adultery. A woman who by law during this day and time should have been executed for her actions. Yet she came face to face with Jesus. And then everything changed. What was probably the darkest, most humiliating, most shameful, and most terrifying moment of her life, when she was brought before Jesus and a group of people, when that happened, Jesus treated her, get this, unfairly. He treated her unfairly because fair, again, according to their day and time, would have been for her to be executed. But Jesus showed his unfair love. He demonstrated that to her. He treated her unfairly. And I'm sure as a result, she was eternally grateful. She walked away from that moment praising God for being unfair. You see, because as a result of this interaction with Jesus, as a result of this unfair love that she experienced, she was given a second chance. She was given another chance at life. She was not given condemnation, but forgiveness. Not sin and shame, but grace and love, and not death, but life. That's what happened when she came into an interaction with Jesus and his unfair love. And maybe for you this morning, you can really relate to this story. Maybe for you, when you think back over your life, you realize that you've done some pretty messed up things. You've had some pretty bad moments, done some things you're not proud of, and maybe you feel incredibly guilty for it, or you feel filled with shame, and you think to yourself, man, there's no way that God could forgive me for what I've done, let alone could God ever love me after what I said or what I did or what I thought. And maybe because of these thoughts and feelings, it's exactly what has kept you away from God, what has led you to avoiding him throughout your life. And it's not that you don't care, or that you don't want to know him, or you don't want to connect with him, but it's more of this fear of rejection. Fear that because of your past, because of your past actions, that God is somehow going to reject you. That your past disqualifies you for being connected with Jesus. But you know, guess who else probably felt that way? This woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Again, probably the most shameful, embarrassing moment of her life, when she was caught in her sin and then drug out into the middle of a group of people and called out and was about to be killed. I'm sure she felt shame. I'm sure she felt like she had screwed up so bad that God would never forgive her and that it was it. It was over for her. But God showed her mercy. He showed her love and gave her new life. Despite her actions, despite the fact that she actually was guilty, he demonstrated unfair love to her. And the end result is Jesus verbally telling her, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin." He said, you have another chance. You have new life. So worship me and celebrate me and celebrate that by leaving that life of sin. It's no longer a part of your life. It doesn't have to be because you have grace and mercy and love. So leave that life behind. You see, the beautiful thing that we learn for our lives from this story, what we learn about God's unfair love from this account of this woman who was caught in adultery, is the fact that your past doesn't define your future. Hear me clearly in that. Your past, I don't care how bad or how rough it is, it does not define or dictate your future. You see, because when you step into a relationship with Jesus, when you deserve death and condemnation, he says, no, no, no. I give you life. I give you another chance. And because of that, that past, that old you doesn't define your future. Because in Jesus, we are a new creation. The old is gone. Everything is brand new. And again, not because you deserve it. That's why it's unfair. We don't deserve it, but Jesus gives it to us anyways because his love is so unfair. But maybe you're a lot like me in that you really struggle with continued thoughts or feelings of guilt and shame from your past, from some of those things that you've done or some of those things that you've said or some of those things that you've thought. And you know that God's grace is sufficient to cover all sin. Like maybe you know that and you even believe it and claim it for other people and you tell other people that. But when it comes to you and your life, you struggle to believe it for yourself because of that constant guilt and shame. And so many times when we're in that mindset, we build these walls up between us and God. Even if you have a relationship with Jesus and you've come to know him as your Lord and Savior, you kind of build up this wall when you start to think about your past and you let that consume you. Or if you don't know Jesus, you just keep him at arm's distance completely because you just feel like you're not good enough. And the fact is we're not. But that's why God's unfair love is so incredible. And so if that's you, and you wrestle with that from time to time, or maybe constantly, I want to share with you two final thoughts from Scripture that have personally helped me in helping me to understand, one, who I am in Christ, what my identity in Christ is, and therefore also to help me understand that my past doesn't define my future, that only God defines my future, that because of the fact that I'm connected to Jesus, that when God sees me, he doesn't see my sin, he doesn't see my past, but he sees Jesus. So let me share these two thoughts with you. And the first thought is this: because of Jesus, not because of you, but because of Jesus, God completely separates you from your sin. Again, through a connected relationship with Jesus, God only sees his son when he looks at you. He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your flaws. He doesn't see your failures. He sees the beautiful new creation that you are in Christ, because the old has passed away. The sin, that's the old you. And then you are this new, beautiful creation. You've been forgiven and your sins are separated from you. They're gone. They no longer define you. And we see this clearly in Psalms chapter 103, verses 10, 11, and 12. And David writes these words, and if you think, well, that's just David. David's in the Bible. He was, you know, a man after God's own heart. Don't forget that David was also an adulterer. Don't forget that David also knocked up a married woman and then sent her husband to the front lines of battle and then drew the troops back so that he would be murdered. Don't forget that this is David. And David says this about how God treats him and his sin. Psalms 103, verse 10. It says, he, meaning God, he does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. He's saying God doesn't deal with us as we deserve. God's not fair. Verse 11, he says, for his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Then check this out. He says, he has removed your sins as far from us as the east is from the west. And I don't know if you understand this or not, but the east and the west, they're pretty far apart. They're kind of polar opposites, and they actually can't ever be together. As far as the east is from the west, that's how God has separated you from your sin, completely removed from one another. As far as the east is from the West. But you see, without Jesus, we're kind of intertwined with our sin and therefore are dead in our sin. But through Jesus, there's hope. Through Jesus, there's restoration. Through Jesus, there's healing. And through Jesus, we are removed and separated from our sin. It's because of his unfair love. Because of Jesus, God has completely separated you from your sin. Therefore, it no longer defines you. You don't have to stay wallowing in it. You don't have to stay consumed with your sin. It's gone. And we need to begin to treat it that way and live that way and live from that truth and praise God for it. The second thought is that in your failures, God's grace and strength comes alive. This is such a beautiful promise in Scripture that in your failures, in your flaws, in your biggest screw-ups, God's grace and strength truly comes alive. And we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul is writing about this thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what this thorn in the flesh is exactly, but what we do know is that it was miserable for him. He hated it. He wanted it removed from his life. He didn't want to deal with it anymore. So let's go ahead and check out what he has to say. And again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. And Paul writes this. He says, "Three times I pleaded with God about this, about that thorn in the flesh, that it should leave me. But he said to me," this is what God said to him, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly," Paul says, "of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He says, "My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in your weakness." Maybe for you, that thorn in your flesh, or one of the thorns in your flesh, is that you struggle with the guilt and the shame from your past. Those feelings, those overwhelming and all-consuming and miserable feelings keep welling up in you. Every time you feel like you're trying to make progress and you're moving forward and you're connecting with God, the enemy throws those feelings of guilt and shame back up and it just crushes you. And it leaves you feeling defeated, discouraged, lonely. You play through those bad decisions and you're like, man, what was I thinking? And it's keeping you sidelined. It's keeping you from being all that God has created you to be. It's your thorn in the flesh. But if that's you, I want you to remember that in your weakness, God's strength and power comes alive. So when you're feeling those feelings, which honestly, like we said, you don't have to live in, you don't have to embrace because they're far as the east is from the west. But when you wrestle and you struggle with that, remember that God's strength is going to be made new in that. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be at its peak in your weakness. And like Paul, we can say, you know what? God, I praise you for my weaknesses because in that, you're giving me strength. In that, your strength and your grace is made alive. Remember that his forgiveness and grace is sufficient to cover all your sins, past, present, and future, because we're not perfect. But God's grace is sufficient to cover all sin, and that in our weakness, he is made strong. His strength is perfected in our flaws and our failures and our weakness. And that is such encouraging and good news for us. We can praise God for that. We can celebrate it because we know in that weakness, he is made strong. So if you find yourself this morning kind of dodging and deflecting God because of these feelings of guilt and shame from your past mistakes, or maybe if you're just completely overwhelmed by them, I want you to hear me clearly this morning. morning. And I want you to remember these final words. Understand that God knows everything about you. He knows every action. He knows every thought. He knows your deepest, darkest secrets. He does. And yet, he's crazy about you. Despite him knowing everything about you, all the dirty details, he still loves you and wants to be in a relationship with you. And it's so unfair, but that is our good God. That's how he treats you, and that's how he loves you. And so if the guilt and shame from your past continues to hold you back, I want you to remember these final words. I want to leave you with this thought. And I want you to either write it down somewhere, or you can screenshot it, or whatever it may be. But remember this, that your greatest indiscretion is an opportunity for God to show you his unfair love. And man, that's so incredible. Think about that. Really, let it sink in. That your greatest indiscretion, your greatest failure, your greatest flaw, your greatest screw up is just another opportunity for God to show you his unfair love. It's so beautiful. And it's something that we should celebrate. When God's not fair, we can celebrate it because it's in that that we can be connected to the Father. It's in his unfair love that we can have hope, that we can have peace, and that we can have joy, that we can be separated from our sin. Again, God's love is not fair. And because of that fact, we can remember that you're not too late. You're not too late to receive his mercy and grace that leads to salvation. Because God's love is unfair, we can remember that no matter how far you are from God, now or maybe you will be in the future, you've never gone too far. He's just waiting for you to come back to him. And because God's love is unfair, our past does not define or dictate our future. Only God defines that. And he loves you. And he has forgiven you. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. The old has passed away and all things have become new. Understand that your past, I don't care how bad it is, but your past does not disqualify you from being in a connected relationship with Jesus. Your past does not disqualify you from God using you for incredible things. Now and in the future. Because your screw-ups, your flaws, your failures, your indiscretions are just another opportunity for God to show you his unfair love. And it's something that we need to commit to celebrating and praising God and worshiping for it. Praising him for the fact that he's not fair. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, or whenever people are watching this, God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for loving us with a love that is actually not fair as we understand fair. God, because we don't deserve your mercy, your love, and your grace. We don't deserve any of that, but you give it to us anyways, God, and I just want to say thank you for it. And God, and I pray for each and every person that's listening to this or watching this, God, that you would bless them, that you would free them from the guilt and the shame of their past. God, if it's their past actions or maybe their current actions that are keeping them from coming into a personal relationship with you, God, I pray that you would remove that barrier and you would help them to see that you love them no matter what, that they can come just as they are, like for real, can come just as they are. And fall on their knees before you and say, God, forgive me and save me. Make me new. And God, for those who maybe do have that connected relationship with you and they The enemy uses that guilt and shame from their past to keep them sidelined and keep them distracted. God, I pray that you would free them from that. I pray that you would speak truth over them and that they would actually receive it, that they would receive the fact that they are a new creation, that they are separated from their sin. And just like that the woman caught in adultery, that you don't condemn them, that their flaws are just an opportunity for you to love them with an unfair love. God, may we feel that. May we remember that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. God, and we thank you for it. I speak to each of us, Lord. Help us to draw closer to you. And for those, God, that may not know you as Savior, God, I pray that you would convict them and that you would, or that they would come to know you, that they would receive that gift of unfair love. Thank you, Jesus. And it's your name we pray. Amen. So again, man, thank you all so much for being here with us and hanging out with us at LifePoint Live. Man, I love you guys. I truly miss each and every one of you, and I hope that you all are doing well. If you have any questions about LifePoint Church, maybe this is the first time you've heard about us or the first time you've connected with us. If you want more information, go ahead and put that in the comment section or send us a direct message or an email. And we will get back with you. You can find my email address on our website, which is www.lpc502.com. You can send me an email. Or if you want information about what it means to have a connected relationship with Jesus, how does this whole salvation thing work, and you want to know more about Christ and you want to have a personal relationship with him, hit us up in the DMs and we will definitely get back with you. Also, if you call LifePoint Church home, or you just want to bless LifePoint Church or begin to give biblically, we have that opportunity still for you to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings. And you can do that on our website. If you go to our website again, it's lpc502.com. On the right-hand corner is an online giving button. It takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. We just want to encourage you to be faithful in your giving so that we can continue to move the ministry forward, to reach more people, to love more people, to serve more people. And that's really what we're about. So we pray that you would consider giving or continuing to give if you call LifePoint Church home. If you're not comfortable with the online platform, you can always mail in a check. And again, you can find our address on the website. We love you guys. I'm so thankful that you're here with us this morning whenever you're watching. And if you need anything, I always say that if you need anything, don't hesitate to reach out. Don't isolate. We love you guys. We're here for you. And we want to connect. So thanks for connecting with us this morning. Thanks for being here with LifePoint Church. We love you guys. See you next time.